Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Great to be here.
It is August 6th, 2025. And, well, the AI world is just buzzing. Incredible breakthroughs, some really pivotal shifts happening right now.
Absolutely. Things are moving fast.
So our mission today, we're taking a deep dive into a whole stack of news and reports, mainly from the AI Innovation Chronicle.
Yeah.
We want to pull out the key insights, figure out what it all means for AI development, you know, how companies are dealing with the legal stuff, the ethics.
And all the new applications popping up.
Exactly.
And our goal really is to connect those dots for you, give you the why behind the what, you know? Mm. Want to highlight the implications of all this rapid change, help you see the bigger picture without getting totally overwhelmed.
Okay, let's jump right in then. Big news from OpenAI. They're traditionally known for, well, keeping things proprietary, right?
Very much so.
But they just launched two open-weight AI reasoning models.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a pretty significant rise.
It is a definite shift.
So the models are GPOS 120B and GPTOS 20B.
That's.
And the accessibility part is what caught my eye. They're on Hugging Face already.
Yep, available now.
And that smaller one, the 20B, it can run on a single GPU, even a consumer laptop.
With just 16 gigs of memory. That's the claim.
Wow. So why is that level of accessibility such a big deal for the industry?
Well, it comes down to this open aspect. Now, they are open weight, and they've got this permissive Apache 2.0 license.
Meaning companies can use them commercially, modify them.
Exactly. Download, change, sell products based on them, redistribute freely. It's different from, say, Meta's Llama license that has that user threshold.
Right. The 700 million user thing.
Yeah. But here's the catch, or maybe just a key detail. The training data itself isn't available.
Okay. So open weight, not fully open source in the traditional sense.
Precisely. But still, getting the models out there this easily, that's a game changer for deployment.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. Performance-wise, they apparently beat competitors like DeepSeek on some tests.
Which is good, obviously.
But, and this is the caveat, they also hallucinate a lot more. Rates above 49% on OpenAI's own person QA test.
Mm-hmm. 49%.
Yeah. I mean, nearly half the time on that specific test. What does that imply for reliability, especially if you're pushing these for commercial use? Are we seeing a trade-off here, accuracy for openness?
That's a really fair question. Both models use what's called a mixture of experts architecture, MoE,
right,
and they use aggressive quantization. That's basically a technique to shrink the model down, make it less demanding computationally,
prolific,
much more efficient. So take the GPTOS 120B. It has 117 billion parameters, which sounds huge.
It does.
But it only actually uses about 5.1 billion parameters for any given token, any piece of input.
How does that work?
It routes the query, the question you ask it, through specialized subnetworks, like little expert models inside the big one. That's how it can run on just one 80GBB GPU instead of needing a massive server farm.
Okay, so efficiency is key.
Mm.
But that hallucination rate.
It seems to be part of the package right now, yes. Higher efficiency, potentially higher hallucinations in certain scenarios.
So stepping back, what's the strategy here for OpenAI? This is a big departure.
It really is. It fundamentally changes the competitive dynamics. They're suddenly competing directly in the open weight space.
Positioning themselves against Meta, Mistral.
Exactly. And performance-wise, they claim the 120B model matches their own A4 Mini on reasoning tasks.
And the smaller 20B.
Rivals their O3 Mini. So they're competitive right out of the gate, despite the different architecture and, well, the hallucination figures.
And what about safety? Did they address that?
They say they did. Extensive testing. Things like adversarial fine-tuning, filtering out dangerous data like CBRN info.
Chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear stuff.
Right. Filtering that during pre-training. Using instruction hierarchy to block prompt injections. They even had outside red teams try to break it.
How many attacks?
110 attempts were submitted. And they launched a $500,000 red teaming challenge to find more vulnerabilities.
So they're trying to be proactive on safety.
Seems like it, but there's a geopolitical angle here too, isn't there?
Yes. Sam Altman apparently framed this very explicitly.
What did he say?
Something like ensuring the world is building on an open AI stack created in the United States based on democratic values.
Wow. Okay. So a direct counter to the Chinese AI surge.
That seems to be the implication. Addressing that challenge to Silicon Valley's dominance head on.
So by opening up their stack, even partially, they're not just competing with Meta or others on features.
They're building this democratic values narrative.
Yeah, trying to set a kind of U.S.-led open standard, a strategic play to maintain global leadership. It definitely makes you wonder how this move reshapes that global AI race.
Okay, so while all this innovation is happening at light speed, the legal and regulatory side is, well, it's trying to catch up.
Always a step behind, it feels like.
Let's look at a few key things there. First up, NVIDIA. Their chief security officer came out strongly against demands for AI chip backdoors or kill switches.
Yeah, I saw that. Their argument is basically these things would create new vulnerabilities.
Not actually make things safer.
Right. Dangerous vulnerabilities, not security benefits.
And this is aimed at a specific piece of legislation.
It seems so. There's a proposed U.S. bill, the Chip Security Act, that might mandate remote kill switches. But if you connect the dots, it also kind of pushes back against Chinese claims that NVIDIA's H20 chips already have backdoors.
So it's partly about managing that situation in the Chinese market, too, trying not to get replaced by Huawei.
It looks that way. It's security, it's business, it's international politics, all wrapped up.
Meanwhile, OpenAI's got its own legal headaches. Growing tensions over training data. This seems to be a recurring theme.
The hidden cost of these big models, maybe? Yeah. These lawsuits aren't cheap.
And the New York Times lawsuit. The details are pretty striking. There's a UC San Diego professor involved.
Taylor Berg Kirkpatrick, yeah. An expert in NLP.
And he testified that 20 million ChatGPT logs would be enough to prove copyright infringement.
That was his assessment, yes. Sufficient evidence.
But the Times is asking for way more.
Six times more. 120 million user data logs.
To show patterns of regurgitation?
Yeah.
Basically how people might be using it to get around paywalls.
That's the argument. Demonstrating systematic copyright bypass.
Which brings us straight to privacy, right?
Absolutely. Because OpenAI is fighting a court order. A federal court wants them to preserve all user conversations.
Including chats people thought they deleted.
Yes. Which directly contradicts OpenAI's promise to permanently delete data within 30 days.
And the judge wasn't swayed by privacy concerns.
Nope. Judge Sidney Stein rejected OpenAI's objections. And this potentially affects, what, 400 million users?
Worldwide. That's huge. It really forces you to think about what deleted actually means online.
It certainly does.
And Sam Altman himself warned about this kind of thing, didn't he? Using some pretty blunt language.
He did. He said people share their most personal shit with ChatGPT, using it like a therapist, a life coach.
A confidant.
Right. But those conversations, they have zero legal confidentiality protection.
So a discovery demand, like the one from the Times, could potentially expose extremely sensitive private conversations.
That's the fear. Things users absolutely never expected would see the light of day.
Now, they said enterprise customers are excluded and the data has to be scrubbed of identifying info.
True. But the precedent is the worrying part. This could basically give a green light to every media company, every copyright holder, to demand similar access in their lawsuits.
So the message is kind of stark. Don't assume any AI conversation is truly private if lawyers might get involved later.
That seems to be the takeaway, unfortunately. No such thing as private AI chats in a legal fight.
And just quickly on regulation, Illinois took a step. First U.S. state to ban unsupervised AI in therapy.
Addressing those mental health risks people are worried about. A specific targeted regulation.
Okay, let's shift back to the tech itself. Some really exciting advancements pushing the boundaries of what AI can actually do.
Yeah, some cool stuff happening.
Anthropic's got a new model out. Claude Opus 4.1, their latest flagship, going up against GPT-5, presumably.
That's the goal. They're touting better reasoning, better multilingual skills, and big jumps in agentic tasks, AI acting autonomously, and coding.
Any proof points?
Yeah.
Benchmarks?
Yeah. On something called Terminal Bench, it scored 43.3%, which they say beats their older versions and competitors like OpenAI's O3 and Google's Gemini 2.5 Pro.
And early users are seeing results.
Apparently so. Companies like Windsurf, Japan's Rakuten Group, they're reporting faster, more accurate coding already.
Okay, interesting. Now, Google DeepMind, they announced Genie 3, a general purpose world model. This sounds different.
It is. This is, well, this is where it gets really interesting.
What does it do?
Okay, get this. It can generate unique interactive environments. 720p resolution. In real time, just from a single text prompt.
Interactive how? Like a video game?
Kind of, but more dynamic. These environments have real world physics, consistent surroundings, consistent characters, and it generates new visuals at 24 frames per second.
Wow. And consistency. That's usually a problem.
Right. They say its visual memory lasts up to a minute, so things stay coherent scene to scene.
How does it manage that level of control and interaction?
Well, the mechanics involve Genie constantly computing relevant information from past actions, past trajectories, multiple times a second. It's like running constant mini simulations.
Damn.
And users can actually change these worlds while they're winning, drop in new characters, change the environment's rules.
On the fly.
On the fly. But connecting this to the bigger picture, Genie 3 isn't just about making cooler games or simulations.
What's the broader implication?
It's laying the groundwork for training embodied AI at scale.
Embodied AI meaning robots, physical systems.
Exactly.
Right.
Enabling machines to learn and adapt in real time to what-if scenarios. Like, what if this path suddenly disappears? How does a robot react instantly? It's about teaching AI to handle the unexpected physical world, much like humans do.
So this could be huge for robotics, for AI applications out in the real world.
Potentially transformative, yeah. It raises really interesting questions about how quickly those fields might advance now.
Okay, fascinating stuff. Before we wrap this up, let's hit a few other quick developments from August 6th. Bit of a rapid-fire round.
Right, let's do it.
First, some friction. Cloudflare and Perplexity are apparently clashing over stealth AI scraping. Sounds like data wars are heating up.
Yeah. That tension around who gets data and how is definitely growing.
On the environmental front, Google DeepMind's Weather Lab is using AI for better tropical cyclone tracking. Faster, more accurate forecasts.
That's a critical application, especially with climate change impacting storm patterns.
New creative tools popping up, too. 11 Labs launched 11 Music, multilingual music generation.
Yeah, with controls for genre, style, structure. You can even edit sounds and lyrics, apparently.
And Google added a storybook feature to its Gemini app. Generate personalized kids' stories.
With read-aloud narration, and it's free. Democratizing content creation continues.
In scaling an enterprise AI, Perplexity bought a company called Invisible to help scale its browser.
Scaling up their operations.
And Elon Musk tweeted that Grok's Imagine Generator made 20 million images just yesterday. Huge demand.
Massive interest in those generative tools.
Alibaba's pushing hard, too. Released new coder models, the Qwen 3 series, via ATI, big context window, low pricing.
Up to 1 million tokens context, yeah. Aiming for powerful, affordable enterprise AI.
And Shopify's integrating AI deeper into e-commerce. New agent features, checkout kits, better search.
Making AI central to the online shopping experience. Universal cart, low latency search, embedding commerce into AI agents.
And finally, politics. A British MP launched a personal AI chatbot.
To talk to constituents.
Yeah, engage with them. A pioneering use of AI for political outreach, they're calling it.
Interesting. We'll see how that goes.
So quite a day. What's the big takeaway from all this?
Well, it really paints a picture, doesn't it? An AI landscape that's just exploding with new tech.
Pushing boundaries constantly.
While at the same time, really grappling with these deep ethical and legal questions.
And finding its way into more and more parts of our lives.
Yeah, what really stands out is that tension, you know, between open access and keeping things locked down.
Mm-hmm.
Between innovation speed and the urgent need for clear rules,
mm-hmm.
and just the sheer explosion of uses from creative tools to scientific forecasting to, well, personal chatbots for politicians.
It really underscores how AI isn't just changing work anymore.
No, it's changing how we interact with information, maybe even with reality itself through things like Genie, and definitely how we handle our most private thoughts when we share them with these tools.
Well, we hope this deep dive gave you, our listener, a bit of a shortcut to getting up to speed on all this. Some surprising facts, maybe enough context to make sense of the headlines.
And maybe a final thought to leave you with. As these AI models get easier to access, more powerful, but the legal lines are still blurry.
Yeah.
How might you think about the privacy of your own interactions with AI? Not just today, but looking ahead. Something to consider proactively.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us on the deep dive.
Thanks for having me.